All right. For the purpose of the recording, I'm Roy, and this is Margaret Fitzwater, and tonight we're going to be talking about finding rest in a busy life. And in front of you, you'll find a handout of the slides of our PowerPoint and then a little prescription pad. And we are not contributing to the opioid crisis tonight. You can only write yourself a prescription for a Sabbath. All right, so let me pray for us. Father God in heaven, thanks for the opportunity to gather together tonight to hear from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, we know that Sabbath and rest are on your heart. You commanded it, but you did it for our own good. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to share effectively, that you'd open hearts and minds, Lord, that you would draw people to a Sabbath and restful relationship with you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a couple spots up front here yet. So like I said, we're Roy and Margaret Fitzwater with the Navigators, and we live in Colorado. Here's a picture that we took near our home over Thanksgiving. So over here on my right is our youngest son, Stephen. He's an instructor pilot in the Air Force. Next to him is his older brother, Christopher, lives in downtown Dallas and is in the finance area. In the middle there is Margaret's mom, affectionately known as Mimi. We call her our codependent enabler. Margaret and I travel a lot, and so when we come home, she's got a pot of soup ready and the wash is ready to go, so she's a big help. And then Margaret and I over there, so that's Pike's Peak in the background in terms of just a little visual of where we are.
Does everybody have notes? There's a little prescription pad and a deck of notes. Do you guys have that, if you want to take any notes? Yeah, I just want to make sure they're distributed right, so, okay. So this topic is near and dear to our heart. I can't think of anything probably more that we have fought with and struggled with our entire life than this. So it was probably about 20 years ago that God really began to speak very loudly to us. Our kids were young. And God just grabbed my heart. I was listening to the radio one day. I was actually listening to David and Karen Maines, and they had a book called Making Sunday Special that they were talking about on the radio, Christian radio. Now, this is 20 years ago. But she was talking about making Sunday special, and God just convicted me of how we were not doing Sundays very well. Our kids at that point in time, we were a part of a Christian ministry. We had left the corporate, we had just left the corporate world, and were very involved in ministry and church, and our kids hated, they just, they abhorred the thought of Sunday coming. And we just knew that we were not doing things well in that area because they just dreaded church. So we, at the same time when we, I got the book, and we were also, the ministry that we were part of, we actually did retreats with pastors and missionaries, Christian leaders. And what we taught was how to avoid burnout. And you know, we were in the midst of, and maybe that's why I struggle with it so much, because it was kind of the message that we taught. But God really convicted us with this message, and it really was a game changer for our lives. Very soon after getting this book and really beginning to study the Sabbath, we began doing things very differently in our family. We started doing all kinds of things to make Sunday something that was really special and something that the kids looked forward to. And one of the things that we did that was so helpful is we would, you know, just do things like, you know, get the homework done on the weekend and things like that. So it would get the homework done by Saturday. So we actually had Sundays for Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But it was huge. You know, God has a healthy rhythm for our life. He created us with certain limitations and with a desire for us to live life freely in Him. John 10:10 is my very favorite verse. It's sort of my life verse. And it says that God came to give us life and life in abundance. I want all of life. I want everything that He has for us. And the Peterson's, the Message version of the Bible, he says, that scripture, he says, God gave us life more and better than we ever dreamed of. And He has given us this life. It's just that we don't experience it because we don't really understand a lot of times the things that He has given us. We're not taking hold of them. We're not living in the freedom that He's given us. And we are convinced that Sabbath is a big, huge part of this. David Kahneman, who's the head of Barna Research, too, just a couple years ago, said that he thought that part of that if we in the church had a good theology of Sabbath, that it would make a huge difference to millennials, because as Christians, baby boomers have not, and I'll tell you, we have not modeled very well the Christian walk by not having a good Sabbath, by working all the time. You know, that is not an attractive lifestyle. So the whole Sabbath thing is such a big, huge thing, and it has caused Christianity, I think, as a whole, because we have not practiced Sabbath in God's holy rhythm of life for us. It has caused us to be very unattractive to people. Having a Sabbath and having a Sabbath rest is something that can really turn that around and cause people who don't know Jesus to see something very different that's very positive. So Roy's going to talk a little bit more about the Sabbath and give us a little background.
So why the Sabbath? Well, it was actually God's idea, so that means it's a pretty good one. If you think about it, it comes to us out of Exodus 20. And in case you don't remember your history, your Bible history, basically God's people served as slaves in Egypt. He freed them, and you know, you remember the Passover and all the amazing stories that happened there. And then shortly thereafter, in Exodus 20, he gave them the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath and keep it by keeping it holy. And so they had just been freed from slavery, and he wanted his chosen people, the people that he loved more than any other in the earth, to live in a different way. And as they came out of slavery, he wanted to provide for them a Sabbath that would be different, a day of rest. So God gave his people the Sabbath as part of their freedom from slavery. I love this quote from Eugene Peterson. It says, "If you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You're doing too much. You're too much in charge. You have to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing when you're not doing anything." So if we don't stop and rest, it's harder to see what he's doing all around us. We need that uncluttered time and space to distance ourselves from our activities long enough to see what God is doing. So the goal of the Sabbath is really to help us keep God central in our lives, to go into each weekday energized and motivated to live fully in him. Christians are supposed to be holy and set apart, but way too often we make up all these rules that make us set apart and different weird, not set apart and different attractive. So like Margaret said before, an attractive theology of the Sabbath can make a huge difference for people. And we don't want to be legalistic about it, because if you remember in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions to our Sabbath in the way that we practice it, but in general, if we could portray and live out and be real over a Sabbath, it would make a huge difference to those around us. We're going to put you to work at your tables here for just a minute. Here's a passage out of Isaiah 30. "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." So take just a minute and kind of think about your answers to these two questions. What stands out to you in the scripture? And describe your life if a 24-hour Sabbath was a reality each week. So we're just going to give you like 2 minutes to think about that, maybe jot down some notes, and then we'll move on.
You guys are welcome to talk about it. We're going to have you share at your table anyway, just a little bit. So look at those questions. You might need help. Some of us don't have any idea.
Rest and quietness and trust. You're letting God do the work instead of people.
Not more rest. So the challenge. So the challenge is important. You know, I'll give you an answer. We have to come to that realization.
I think we can be quiet. you know, just like one of the things
We're going to give you about 30 more seconds. Okay, how about somebody in the table that kind of saw something interesting in that scripture? Just let the whole group know. Anybody, something stand out?
Okay, I'm sorry. I just thought it was cool that, like, we put rest and repentance in, like, the same bunch right there, like, repentance and rest, you know, just as us as Christians and Christianity, you know, repentance is super important to salvation, but he also, like, makes time to put rest with that repentance.
Yeah, good.
And makes it important to salvation. So.
Yeah, and not just salvation, but ongoing life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. How about something else?
Be still and know that I'm God.
Be still and know that I'm God. So being still is really important in the whole Sabbath concept. So we're going to jump right in and talk about what we think a Sabbath is, and what it could look like. So there are three critical components to Sabbath, and this is our thoughts, our opinions. But there are three things that we have learned over the years: rest, reflection, and renewal. And I think in all three of those is where the more and more that we really embrace these things and practice them, the more freedom in life that we'll really experience. That kind of freedom that God set up for us in the very beginning in Exodus when he told us that we were different. We are his people. We don't have to be like the rest of the world. That's what the Sabbath is. My people, I'm going to love you. You don't have to work yourself to the bone every single day of your life. I'm going to give you rest. So we are his treasured possession, and that is kind of the perspective on the Sabbath that we want everyone to have. So the first thing, rest, that I want to talk about is rest is really about really getting to a place to where we can recenter and really have God's perspective on life again. How many of you have a difficult time maintaining God's perspective on life? We all do. If you look at this picture is called the God's Eye. It's from the Hubble telescope. And we put it there because we want you to think about recentering. And rest is where we begin to recenter our life and kind of begin to throw away the me-centered life. Because that's really what happens if you think about it. When we, you know, life comes at us every single day and all of a sudden we're thinking our thoughts, it's our agenda, we've kind of tossed out God's, and we try to get it every day, but we need a big chunk of time every week to kind of refocus, recenter, reprioritize, really get back into the groove, the rhythm that God wanted for us, so to reprioritize everything. And then sleep is a big part of rest. It's not all rest is, but sleep is big, and we put 7 to 8 hours on that. Maybe surprising to some of you. And let me tell you, I trained myself in college to live on 4 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And I did that for years in the marketplace. I was on the ladder, corporate ladder, climbing up, and I just thought, who needs sleep? Sleep is for the weak, you know? That was my attitude. God has retrained me. And sleep is really critical for lots of reasons. But most researchers will say that it is a rare person who doesn't need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And so sleep is a really important thing. This whole rest idea is God's idea. And, you know, we heard kind of a new twist on rest a couple of years ago that has really made a lot of sense to us. But if you think about creation, God created everything in 6 days, and on day 7 he rested, right? What day was man created on? Six. Man was created on six, on day six. Day seven, God rested, and we've always, you know, thought the Sabbath, we needed to follow his role and rest. But for man, man was created on day six. What was man's first act? Day seven was what? So man's first action was to rest. Have you ever thought about that before? So think about what happens. How would life be different if we were actually to work from our rest instead of just resting from our work? When we go into work rested, it is a different ballgame. I believe that that is why God did it that way, and maybe why we were created on day six, part of it. It's a pretty big deal. We've learned a lot about the Sabbath, about resting, about balance from Pete Scazzaro. He writes Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Emotionally Healthy Leader. He's got a lot of emotionally healthy books. We love those things because we have learned and grown so much through it. He calls it below the waterline discipleship, but it has been huge for us. But he says, the problem with too many leaders is that we allow our work to trespass on every other area of life, disrupting the balanced rhythm of work and rest that God created for our good. Sabbath is a 24-hour block of time in which we stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, and contemplate God. One, we stop. Sabbath is first and foremost a day when we cease all work, paid and unpaid. On the Sabbath, we embrace our limits. We let go of the illusion that we are indispensable and the running of the world. We recognize that we will never finish all our goals and projects and that God is on the throne, managing quite well and ruling the universe without our help. Isn't that crazy that he could do that without us? And then rest. Once we stop, we accept God's invitation to rest. You know, I think one of the things that really it really occurred to me is like, duh, but I think I finally got down to my heart a few years ago, is that when we fail to have a Sabbath and we just work all the time, and I used to be a major workaholic, I still fight against it. But I think it is a matter of trust. You know, when we work all the time, we don't stop and we don't rest. What we're saying is, God, you really don't know what you're doing. What I'm doing here is really important. It's really more important than what you're telling me. And that's really the bottom line. So, I was telling you that our kids, when we were young, we started doing life differently. We would have all these wonderful things on Sunday. We only had coffee cake once a week. It was on Sunday morning because they loved it, and we wanted them to look forward to Sunday. We had a Sabbath box that they could only, their favorite things they could only do on Sunday. And we, you know, we had everything laid out ready on Saturday night. So Sundays became a fun family day. In their teenage years, you know, that was our pizza night, our nacho night. You know, they didn't want to go to youth group because we were doing too many fun things at home. We had favorite games. We just had a great family time on Sundays. Then they grew up, they went to college, and we were doing great at practicing Sabbath for several years. But then they launched. And our youngest son ended up going to the Air Force Academy. He would have friends. So we would maybe not be too balanced during the week, but weekends were not too hard to keep the way that we needed to because we had a high value on evangelism. And, you know, he would bring all of his cadet friends home on the weekend and get to spend lots of time with them. So we would drop everything to be with them. Then he graduated from the Air Force Academy. So a few years ago, we have no more cadets in our house. And so what happened? You know, I love to work. What do you think happened? So out of balance again, we're fighting again. We realize, you know, we were keeping the Sabbath, but we'd cheat. You know, a book I had to read, you know, I love to read. I'm going to read this book because it re-energizes me. Well, you know, I'm reading these books I have to read. Is that really what Sabbath is about? You know, we would make appointments with people. Well, friends re-energize. Well, it's people that we have to see. It's not the ones we really want to spend time with. So we really kind of got kind of off balance again. And I am a very slow learner. Sometimes we both are on this whole Sabbath thing because we've had to fight for it. So we are both slow learners on Sabbath. But anyway, I am especially. I know I'm I'm very stubborn.
Chief of sinners, right?
I'm very stubborn, but you know, God has a way of getting through to us. And this message, I told you, it's been a lifelong thing that he's been working us on. So about 3 years ago, I had this a major life-changing event that God allowed me to be reminded that I can trust him and that this whole rest thing is really important. But kind of accidentally, we live in Woodland Park, 8,500 feet, and dehydration is a major issue with people if you don't drink lots of water. I don't do that very well. And so I have to remind myself all the time. And we had gone on a long walk. We'd walk for 2 or 3 miles and come back, and you know, it was a Saturday. And I'm picking up the phone. I'm thinking, I'm so thirsty. But I think, oh, I just got to get this one phone call made, and then I'll go get some water. Well, anyway, I passed out, ended up going to the hospital, and they accidentally found the fact that I had a mass in my head they thought was cancer. They diagnosed it as cancer. Anyway, it's a long story, but I was literally minutes from major brain damage. It was already 2 inches large, and it ended up being a benign hemangioma, but I was in the hospital 2 weeks later. Well, I was in the hospital immediately. I was actually in surgery that week, and God did. There was an amazing chain of miracles that God did during that time. I actually wrote this article for all of our staff called 12 Miracles. But it was incredible, the experience that I had, that he allowed me to have. And it ended up being benign. I got out of the hospital okay. But the amazing thing was, the doctors, I got out of surgery, and I had the neurosurgeon and my regular doctor and another doctor that all looked at me individually. And they said, you know, your brain is like, it is kind of, it was way out of shape, I'll say that. It's hard to tell you what it looked like, but it was way out of shape. They said it will take about 6 months for it to get back into its normal because it has been, you know, it's almost been punctured. And you had this mass. And so they removed the mass, put a plate in my head. They said, it is absolutely critical for the next 6 months that you get lots of rest. If you do not get 8 hours of sleep, then we need to give you sleeping pills. You've got to get rest because rest is the way our body heals. And they kind of knew what my lifestyle was like too, so they were hitting it pretty hard. But they all, individually, separate from each other, hammered on me the importance of this rest thing. And so, anyway, the other thing, that one of the miracles that happened was, the doctors were actually laughing about this, and the nurses on the floor. We were scheduled to be in Africa. 4 weeks of what?
They were laughing on the floor?
Yeah, really. So we had almost 4 weeks of daily speaking engagements, and being with all these churches and teams in Africa, in three different countries, and so they were all just thinking, oh, this lady thinks she's got to go to Africa. Well, one of the miracles was it really was healing very fast. I couldn't talk to anybody and all this kind of stuff. But two and a half weeks later, I was on a plane to Africa, and we actually went, but we told our country leader, unlike all the other times, that it was going to be really critical. The doctor told me the last thing, he said, you can go and get on that plane, but let me tell you, if you do not get your rest, you will fail to think for a living the rest of your life. And we do a lot of coaching, consulting kind of stuff. And you know, to think that you will fail to think for the rest of your life is pretty serious. So anyway, we took the rest thing, told our country leader, and anyway, we had our sleep there. We did the trip totally different than we'd ever done another trip. And we got we slept well every night, and we had a Sabbath. It might not have been on Sunday, it might not have been 24 hours, but we had a really good chunk of Sabbath time every week. And I will tell you, that is the most fruitful trip to Africa we have ever made. And so God really showed us how we really could trust him, and it really is about him and not us, and that the rest is absolutely critical.
So lest you think that Margaret's the only one that occasionally struggles with things, she has the goodness of her heart allowed me to speak on the things that I struggle with the most. And so for me, that would be reflection. My personality is not introspective. I, you know, until about 10 years ago, hated to journal. And so, but I have found that reflection really is a key part of our Sabbath practice. So first we need to rest so that it puts us in a position that we can reflect. And reflection comes when we have quiet and stillness. And if you think about living in a city like Houston, it is rarely still. So we have to create places like that. So reflection comes, it allows us to know God and to know ourselves better. We want to be able to hear from him and to understand the things that he's uniquely called us to do, like Ephesians 2:10 talks about. If we do something that somebody else is supposed to do because we're so important, they miss the opportunity to do what God has called them to do. So we really do want to practice this whole idea of reflection and hearing from God what he wants us to do. So there's a very wise and seasoned navigator. He's in his 80s. His name is Skip Gray. And he says, in the baggage carousel of life, not every suitcase has your name on it. So stop and think about that. You know, if you've been to the airport, almost every suitcase is black, and they all look the same, and you could pick them all up and be perfectly happy. And it's the same way with what God has called us to do. He only calls us to do certain things. And reflection is where we make sense of all the stuff that's in front of us and are able to choose the things that he really has put there for us. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So the beginning of knowing who God is being still. Something, again, that we have a difficulty practicing. And the famous theologian Ziggy once said that there's a reason God called us human beings and not human doings. Pete Scazzaro, that Margaret mentioned earlier, says we are not doing machines, but we are deeply loved sons and daughters of God, whom he doesn't want to use, but rather enjoy and be enjoyed by you. So whenever I think about this furnace of transformation that Henry Nouwen describes these hard things as, I think about a pottery called Raku. And if you haven't ever seen it, it's one of the most beautiful kinds of pottery that there is. But it's made in a really unique way. It's not just a glaze like normal pottery is made, but instead, what they do is they take this pot that they form, and they heat it up in a kiln to about 3,000 degrees, which is about as hot as you can get. And then they plunge it into a barrel of trash. It's got newspaper and seaweed and broken bottles and wood and all this kind of stuff. They put it at the very hottest part into this reduction barrel. And that's where the beauty comes from. It's not the glaze, it's being in the midst of all this trash and hard stuff. And that's really what God wants to do in our lives, is to transform us by taking those hot places where we're under a lot of pressure and using reflection for us to see what God has for us in all of those things. And that's how we really, he brings beauty out of those things. We need to practice silence and stillness. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So the last part of Sabbath is renewal.
Before I talk about renewal, one other thing that I was thinking about on reflection, I don't remember who said this, but I just remember that somebody said that life is lived forward but understood backwards. And the reflection part really does. When you start looking backwards in a place of quietness and rest, all of a sudden things begin to make sense a lot of times, things that have not made any sense before. And God speaks to us in ways that we hear and see things that we haven't seen before. And we don't always understand, you know, there's a lot of things we don't, the why of why God does things we don't ever understand. But a lot of times we will understand, maybe not the why, but other things about it. Or we'll see part of God's redemption and part of his redemptive plan in things that we don't. So it really is a critical step. And it's really important as we move into renewal, because renewal is where we really are refreshed. It's where we are re-energized and we are, you know, we really do have the energy and the life and the passion that God wants us to have to do all the things that he has prepared in advance. Ephesians 2:10 says that he's prepared in advance for us because we want to move into that work and only that work that he's prepared in advance so that we can do it with energy and with fruitfulness. I love the scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's from Nehemiah. And when we go with the joy of the Lord, we do have a lot more strength. And I think you can think about that. When you have a lot of joy, you just you just have lots more energy. There's lots more energy to do things. And this Sabbath helps us to do that. So think about, let's think about how we are refreshed. There's a, it, each one of us probably are refreshed a little bit differently, but there are some things that the scripture says are ways that we're refreshed. The first thing is to keep the Sabbath. In fact, in Exodus, one of the things that God says, he says, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that you may be refreshed. And then he goes on and says some other things. But and he talks about worship. Worship is a part of this too, of keeping the Sabbath. So it doesn't, and you know, a lot of people say, well, does it need to be Sunday? No, it doesn't have to be Sunday, but Sunday is a really good day for most people. For pastors and people in full-time Christian ministry, you know, people that are, and some of you, if you're working all day Sunday, you know, you've got a job in the church, even if it doesn't matter if it's paid or not, if you're working all day Sunday, that's not a Sabbath. So, but you got to have, you know, somewhere in there you need to find that Sabbath. But worship is really important. Because in worship, you know, we are connecting with God in a way that allows us to see who he really is. And we are praising him for who he really is. And if you think about it, when you are worshiping God and you are in a place where you almost feel like you're face to face with him. And sometimes the way we experience worship, when you really begin to look in the face of God, you know, there's this instant thing that reflects back into us. And I think it's really hard for me to really see God and not see how inadequate I am. You know, when we see him, we see who we are not. And at that point in time, you know, if we are open and we've been in a time of rest and reflection, God very frequently will show us things that we need to be repentant of, things that we need to confess. So that's the next part is confession and repentance. And I'm not going to go through all these scriptures. You can go through them later. But so confession and repentance. And if you think about when God convicts you of something and something that you need to repent of, I think we can all agree that all of a sudden we feel more free. We feel a lightness. We feel a joy. We get refreshed. The third thing is community, and that is just being with other people who love Jesus. That is always so refreshing to get with friends who love Jesus. And we do that very frequently on our Sabbath. Personal time with God is really good. I love when we are at home when we're not in churches working and stuff like that. I love Sunday mornings. It's my favorite day of the week. And I will get up. Of course, we don't have kids at home now, so I don't have to worry about getting them off to somewhere or getting them dressed or anything. But we go to our late service at church so that we can have, I have like a 2-hour quiet time on Sunday morning. It's not rushed. I just spend this wonderful, great time with God that's really renewing. So personal time with God, play and enjoy. That's Roy's favorite. Roy loves to play. You know, his personality is very different than mine. And Roy has to have lots of play time to be refreshed. It's really important. So our Sundays will frequently, you know, be doing something really fun. I mean, we got to go cross-country skiing in our neighborhood last Sunday. It was really fun. We finally have enough snow this year. So it was great. So we want you to think for just a minute, how are you refreshed? Just think about that for a minute, because we're all kind of refreshed differently. So just share at your tables just for like 1 minute. How are you refreshed? Each one of you individually. Just share with somebody else at your table. What refreshes you?
Doing something I like to do that doesn't require thinking, like I enjoy it. Reading or cat habit.
Sometimes running, just walking, appreciating, whatever the sound drop is, or the sky, or the trees, or whatever that might be.
But then I got
just noticing, meditating.
But it's okay. I'm good.
Huh?
It's been a while.
Not good. My mind is wandering. That's why I had to shout it down.
Gotta get back the monkeys in the cave.
Yeah, basically, good against this like hard, just push all this without thinking.
Yeah. She's like discipleship essentials for today. How like we're the world talks about meditating as in like just like opening up your mind and like
wander. Okay. So
like,
I'm gonna give her a tip
to in scripture.
Yeah.
And so like,
so we wanted you to do that because I think a lot of times as Christians and especially as Christian leaders, we cut ourselves short in this refreshing phase. And because of that, that leads to burnout. It leads to, just individual lack of passion for Jesus. And, all the things that we do, we just have to always remind ourselves that God doesn't need us for any of that. I mean, He could get every single thing done without us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He wants us. But the primary thing that's important to God is our relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
He created us for a relationship with Him. So, when we take this time off and kind of get recentered the way we're supposed to, and we get refreshed, all of a sudden, all that kind of comes back, and we can just enjoy our relationship. And if we are enjoying our relationship with Jesus more, and that, I mean, people notice that, and we will be more effective at, He wants His kingdom to advance. So, be refreshed and think about that, and encourage others to be refreshed. Now, the whole Sabbath, one of the things that is difficult sometimes to keep a Sabbath, or something that's helpful to in keeping a Sabbath, is to think about an overall rhythm of life that is that has a Sabbath in it. And I want to share with you something that's been really helpful to us over the last few years. And this is one of our older staff couples in Boston. Roy and I were staying with them a few years ago, and they shared this with us. And it's been very, very helpful. But they said that it's four word pairs. And the first one is divert daily, and that is our just daily time with God, our relational time with Him, our quiet time, whatever you want to call it. But divert daily, withdraw weekly, and withdrawing weekly is our weekly Sabbath. That is our Sabbath, our time to withdraw. I will say that one of the things that we try to do weekly, reflectively, is that at the end of our Sunday, our normal Sabbath is usually Saturday evening to Sunday evening. So somewhere around 6 or 7, we try to shut down. We don't do emails on Sunday. We just kind of shut down things until generally 6 or so on Sunday evening. And if somebody needs to get us, they know that, we have phones, but we just don't do the email thing and all that kind of stuff. So we try to get rid of that. But at the end of the day, what we do on Sunday evening is we'll kind of together, we'll go back through our week, and we reflect back on our weekly withdrawal. And we think about what didn't go well, what needs to be different this following week. And I'll do that with my journal too, and I'll go back and think about, what is God teaching me, what do I need to learn. When we do that, we just learn and we grow so much more too. So it becomes a really great growing as well as refreshing exercise. And then meditate monthly is where once a month we generally will take a day apart for prayer. And that is, you may not have the time to be able to do that. We are we're in positions where we can do that, and we try to. Now, it's not always, I would say, it's not always a full day, but it's almost always at least a half a day. If there's a month that's really, really busy, maybe it's only, a chunk of time, 3 hours or something. But to have that monthly time that you're really in a bigger picture kind of thing, really spending time, is so helpful, and it just helps you to be able to do the whole weekly thing too. And then abandon annually, once a year, 2-3 days. We'll take a couple of days off and just spend time where we don't answer the phone a whole lot. We're planning, we're looking ahead, we're looking back. We do some individual time, and then we'll do some time as a couple too. But this whole overall rhythm is extremely helpful for keeping a rhythm in life that is healthy. So we're going to have you do something here in just a minute. Before we do, we're going to let you think about a Sabbath that you want to keep and a couple of steps to get there.
But before we do that, we thought we'd just have, if you guys have any comments or questions that maybe would be helpful before we did this. So any questions or anything on this, we're going to give you about 5 minutes on this other little exercise here in just a minute. But any questions or comments on Sabbath right now?
When you meditate monthly, do you go somewhere besides your home?
It depends. If sometimes we do, like in the summer, we have a friend who runs a camp, and we can't do it in the summer because he's got campers there all the time. But usually in fall and in between, if he's got a day, it's only about 30 minutes from our house, and it's a great place to just go and sit in the cabin and, you know, be on our own for a day. But
a lot of times we'll walk. We pray. We do a prayer walk. So.
Comment, life is lived forward but
understood backwards.
Thank you.
Yes.
In your prayer walk, are you just praying as the Spirit leads, or do you have prayers that you take with you?
So if it's during our day away, you know, that whole day thing, we'll usually, depending on the weather, sometimes we will have a list of, you know, prayer requests. We have people who support us. We're U.S. missionaries, and we might take our whole list. We'll tell them that we're going to take a day of prayer and ask them to all send us prayer requests. And we'll have this packet of, you know, people we're praying for. So we'll pray through all those things sometimes. Sometimes it's just, if we're not doing that, if it's a shorter time, we might take people from our church. We have a church prayer list at church that we get every week through email. It might be that. It might be all of those things. It depends. Sometimes if we don't have a prayer list or whatever, we walk around our neighborhood. We pray for our neighbors. You know, sometimes we are praying about things. We might just, we like to walk and pray. I love being outdoors. I seem to connect with God so much more outdoors. But that's just my personality and Roy does too. And you may have your own style or whatever. So it really is whatever fits you. But it's, the goal is just extra time with God to be connected in a way that you don't get to in the hustle and bustle of life. It's just, we live in a world that is, you know, we are living a kingdom life in the midst of a non-kingdom life. You know, it is very different in the life that we live. We belong to it. We're citizens of a different kingdom. And so because we're in this culture all the time, it's just easy to drift. And so all of this helps us to stay centered and not drift, and to be living the life, to experience the life that God wants us to here. Because he doesn't want us to wait till we get to heaven to experience a lot of life. There's so much more life here that most of us don't experience. Any other questions? Okay. So we're going to give you just a little bit of time here, and we would like for you to answer the question, what kind of Sabbath do I want this week, and what is my plan for keeping it? So think about, you know, the kind of Sabbath that you would like to have, ideally, how you might keep that, and then we'd like for you to just write one or two steps that you could do this week. So it's Friday, so if your Sabbath is going to be Sunday, think about, you know, just one or two steps that you can move toward having a Sabbath that's more ideal for you. So we're going to give you about 5 minutes just to think through this, pray about it, and we're going to just give you some quiet time to do that. You're welcome to write that on your prescription pad too if you want to. That's for you. It'll be your own personal prescription. finished, why don't you share that? Share one step with somebody else at your table. So what the one step that you're going to take toward a better Sabbath for you. So share that with one person at your table.
I just started doing that probably 6 months ago, and in the term of keeping us out was through that whole morning to myself. And so, how can I utilize that better as like a selfish rest? How can I bring God into my rest? So, just like some things that they did, just start to longer quiet time, but have time.
I think that's a little like, I just don't want to be like, that's a big thing.
You think not a good care of me.
I wrote longer quiet times and more journaling. Just like tend to try to brush up the things and I don't know what I'm going to do about it.
So you may not have had a chance to finish yet sharing, but you're welcome to linger before we meet together again as a group downstairs. I just want to encourage all of you, I know this is a little rushed, but if you think about those ideas of rest and reflection and renewal and building those into the Sabbath practice, if you need some ideas for creative ways to do Sabbath, watch the movie Fiddler on the Roof. The Jews do an amazing job of creating a Sabbath. From the way they light candles, to the songs, to the blessing of the children, all those kinds of things. Watch it from that perspective, and it'll give you some brand new ideas. So I want to share one last scripture passage with you. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30, which many of you have heard. It's the passage about my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. But this is the message version of it. So just kind of close your eyes and kind of listen to this passage. Let it wash over you. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me, and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely. In Isaiah 30:15, it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And so really the question is, when it comes to the Sabbath, are we going to follow his prescription or ours? Let me pray for you. So Father, thanks for this time together tonight. Thanks for an opportunity to think about Sabbath in the way that you think about it. I pray, Father, for each of these folks that as they contemplate the things that we've talked about, that you'd begin to help each of us to build in rest and reflection and renewal. Lord, that we would trust you enough to realize that we can take a day off and watch what you're doing. And you have given us that as a blessing, not as a curse. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Don't forget your app. Don't forget your app. Don't forget your app. Don't